This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is a feel-good Friday. Willie in for Boomer again today. I know Jerry's going to play some of this Art Stapleton audio coming up in his next update, but I did want to talk about some of the things that he was talking about, and that was the Giants now seriously considering Aaron Rodgers, not just one of those things that people are putting two and two together, that the Giants have done a deep dive on Aaron Rodgers after the Matthew Stafford thing fell apart. And Art Stapleton kept saying from a football standpoint, meaning that they think he could still play and he could work with Brian Daboll and all of those things. I guess they're kind of weighing what type of distraction he might be if he comes to the New York Giants. And if they draft a guy and they have Aaron Rodgers as a one-year bridge and that guy is Cam Ward, I think you could do worse than that. But I can't fathom what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. I really can't. And I know that he's
not trying to sell that house. That's what he's thinking.
Beautiful house
in Montclair.
Yeah, I guess. But all right. And I know it's hard to put myself in these guys' shoes, especially Aaron Rodgers, because he's different. He's not the same type of athlete. He thinks differently. He goes all over the world. He does mind-bending drugs, all these things. I mean, it's hard to figure him
DMT.
Out. But it's hard to figure him out. But to have this experience with the Jets that was so ballyhooed, and him coming here and saving this franchise and saying that Super Bowl III trophy looks a little lonely, and reviving a franchise and being the guy, to have it fall apart and just be so horrible. And then for him to be injured that first year, come back, play through a ton of injuries. He was banged up all over the place last year, even though he played 17 games. Then have this new regime of guys who have never had those jobs before, and Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn tell him, no thanks, we're going in a different direction. Then just to latch on with the New York Giants.
And there's other options, though. You have the Raiders.
Three-win New York Giants is amazing to me. That's the way that this guy's legendary career is going to come to a screeching halt. Now, you tell me that, okay, we tried the Jets thing. My Achilles popped. What are you going to do? I tried my best to come back. I got Davante Adams. Didn't work out. They fired the coach. I got sucked into the Jet vortex, and that's the end of it. And I'm going to go off into the sunset. Fine. But now to try to fix that by coming back another year so you don't go out embarrassed, to do that with the New York Giants? I mean, and don't tell me the Raiders is much better. Like, okay.
No, I'm not saying they're better. I'm just saying there's options. The Giants aren't the only team seeking Aaron Rodgers. We talked about potential landing spots that would suit the Vikings. I think it should be an option for them. I think the Titans should be an option. I think the Raiders should be an option. Landing with the New York Giants doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility solely because of this big house in Jersey that he brought. He still feels like he can play. He's obviously stated that, and he's not ready to hang it up. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, I kind of get it. You don't want the. He has a hall. Right now, he's a Hall of Famer. And when they end this movie, it's gonna. They're gonna see. That's what we're gonna see. Him limping off the field, barely holding on.
Yeah.
You don't want it to end like that. Not from a ball player.
Well, how is it gonna get better?
I don't know.
With the Giants.
I don't know.
Now you tell me that, you know, if Sam Darnold could go from where he was in his career to the season he had with the Minnesota Vikings, then Aaron Rodgers could go to a place like that, play a ton of games indoors, play in the division he played against forever. But then he's just living Brett Favre's life. And I mean, he goes from the Jets over to the Minnesota Vikings. I think that somehow has to seep into his brain and go,
I mean, that's an easy layup.
I don't want to do that. You know,
you do not want to do it solely because Brett did it. I mean, it's the best opportunity out of all the options I just mentioned.
But I don't think, first of all, I don't think the Vikings want him. I don't think that's going to be anything that even happens. But the point being, for conversation's sake, like, that's a place that obviously he could go and win. And
well,
maybe,
hold up. You being a Vikings fan, they obviously sent Sam Darnold up the street to kind of figure out what was best for him.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the move they're making, they're entering the McCarthy era. But if this knee of McCarthy, for whatever reason, isn't up to par and he cannot be the guy they need him to be, why wouldn't you get Aaron Rodgers for a year?
No, then they bring back Sam Darnold.
I don't think they bring back Sam
Darnold. He's 28. He knows the system. It ended on a sour note. You give him another opportunity. You don't bring in Aaron Rodgers. You don't do that. Now, is it real?
Yeah, but from Sam Darnold's standpoint, this is your only window where you can maximize your value.
Who's paying him? No one's paying him.
If I'm the Titans, I'm
okay. I mean,
I'm paying him.
Okay. If you think that that's maybe a landing spot for him and he's going to get $150 million.
I don't think he's going to get $150. I mean, it's
okay. I mean, I think that he could. I think it's a possibility, but he needs multiple teams to be bidding on him to get that type of money. So
how much would the Vikings pay him?
Well, I think that because no one else wants him, I think that they'd get him on a shorter-term deal. And it'd
get
be like
for
a,
low.
A two-year deal, and they'd be guaranteeing him a lot of money. But I don't know that whole J.J. McCarthy knee problem thing is that much of an issue. I really think that this is exactly the way that they wanted this to go, and I think it actually kind of helped that McCarthy was out for a year because it didn't force him to play in his rookie season. He sat back and saw it. And the Minnesota.
It also didn't look good that every rookie that played last year balled out.
Yeah, true. It was
so now it's like if you're the Vikings, like, all right, we want to see what our guy can do. If you're looking at Denver with Bo Nix, you're looking at the Commanders with Daniels. I mean, all these guys showed up and showed out. You want to feel good that if we throw McCarthy out on the field, that the knee is not an issue and that he can still, one, be the guy that he was in college and have a connection with Justin Jefferson.
Yes, and also because they had to pay Justin Jefferson. And the money that he's getting, and they're going to have some cap space, and they're going to have a guy in a rookie contract at the quarterback position, and they don't have a lot of draft picks. That's the way that the general manager wants to build the teams. That's why I think they're going to give McCarthy every chance. But and I don't know. I would not. You got to think too. Like you got the young head coach in Kevin O'Connell. Like he works well with guys like Kirk Cousins and guys like Sam Darnold, and people aren't pushing back a lot. It just is not a good fit for them. I don't think they're going to do that. I just, from the Aaron Rodgers standpoint, it's like what, like, do you, someone who's interested in so many other things in the world, like, he goes to Egypt.
Well, this is who he is.
Almost
I mean,
was
we
a
can't,
vice president.
We can't throw rocks. This is who the man is. This is what he brings to the table.
But this is, what my point is that he's not just a football crazed person. This is my life. I don't know what to do without football. So that's why it's so confusing to me that he's got so many other interests in the world and that he's going to hang on and bounce around to these dog crap organizations just to play another year to not go out like he did with the Jets. It doesn't make any sense.
So what would you rather him do? Just retire?
Yes.
Like the way we like that?
Yes. That's what I thought he was going to do. I mean, it seems insane.
I feel like if you still feel like you can be effective in play and make a difference,
then do it on a team that's got a shot.
The teams that got a shot have a quarterback.
Okay, so retire. I mean, don't go to the Giants. And if you're the Giants, you really think with your jobs on the line, you're bringing in, you know, patched up.
They're desperate. Joe, I mean,
washed Aaron Rodgers.
They don't have any more options. Stafford failed. Nothing is working for the Giants. Daboll and Shane are done. If they don't come up with a quarterback or a plan, that's efficient enough to, for them to roll out a competitive outfit next year.
So trade up, get Cam Ward, and get someone else who's not going to stir the pot in the way that Aaron Rodgers is going to, and then go in that direction. And get Cam. And then the other thing is, too, benching Aaron Rodgers like halfway through the season to go and play Cam Ward is not going to be as easy as benching one of these other dust balls that's out there that you could bring in to be a bridge quarterback.
I mean, I agree with you on that. Like, Aaron's going to be like, you're bugging. I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So you're gonna draft a guy and just have him sit the entire year because you don't want to bench Aaron Rodgers and have that be a problem and have him go on national TV and bitch and moan about the new organization he's
but
on?
But I can understand their approach and being desperate. Like, John Mara himself said, you know, enough is enough. Like, this is, they've run out of room, Brian Daboll and Shane. Like, this, so if you're those two guys, you're like, listen, man, I know this guy, last 10 games of the season was pretty good, especially when they put old-fashioned on my left tackle. He had some protection on the left side of that line. He was moving. He looked better. He was able to throw the ball. He was just a better quarterback, especially when healthy. Now, I do understand the other side of the fence. With the knick-knack injuries he did acquire, he wasn't the guy. He was horrible. So can a 41-year-old quarterback, soon to be 42, be durable enough to get through the season?
No. No. And if he is, he's going to be doing the same thing he was last year, spending more than half the season hurt and playing hurt and not playing well.
And do you tell him right out the door with, you know, one of the reports that supposedly Aaron Glenn had or talked to Aaron Rodgers about was no more McAfee. Do you tell him all the antics off the field has to stop? No more interviews.
I think it's very hard to tell a guy you can't make $1 million doing something. I mean, I really do. I mean, he gets paid $1 million to do that. I mean, and this guy has earned the right to do all of that through his career. I mean, I just.
But he's made a boatload of money.
Okay.
I think that would be a testament of how serious he wants to continue to play and how he wants to end his career. If he's like, all right, no McAfee, no problem.
I don't think that's as much of a distraction. I mean, it's
a huge distraction. Everybody was tuning in on Tuesday to see what was coming out of Aaron's mouth.
Yeah, I know, but I think that coaches get annoyed by that at times because then they're going to have to answer the questions about it. But you know, the only time it really came back to bite them last year was during that Mike Williams red line thing. Outside of that, I mean, Boomer thinks that when he made the joke about Brick Johnson, where he's like, this will be the first time I got cut by an 18-year-old, that was basically the end of his Jets tenure because Woody Johnson heard that and said no more, which I could definitely see.
But I think it was a couple incidents. I mean, the back and forth with him and Ryan Clark, there was a couple things that I think people just kind of was like, enough of this circus.
Yeah, but it's not as if that hurt the team on the field.
No, but it was an extra cloud that the team just didn't need. To just have enough kind of hovering over that building. And when you're the face of the franchise at the quarterback position, you need somebody to kind of be more like in line with the organization.
So you think the only way that the Giants will bring him in is he's going to be completely focused, doesn't want to go on a trip in the offseason, does not want to do, can't do Pat McAfee, all of those things, that's the only way?
I think that helps. I think Daboll would appreciate that. Well, he doesn't have to feel like, all right, I'm going to turn on the tube to see what my quarterback has to say about the current state of this team and me.
I mean, I hate to say it because I really like Joe Shane and I really like Brian Daboll, but they if this is the route they're going, they're screwed. It's over. It's over. It is. No, it really is. Aaron Rodgers is not going to save their jobs. He's not. And what they need
can only go up. They were 3-14 last year.
Listen, man, we've seen a lot of New York football the last couple of years.
Facts.
How many times I've said it can only go up and it doesn't go up and it somehow reaches a new bottom that we didn't know. We're basically digging to the earth's core at this point.
I know.
It could always get worse. And now that Stafford is out of the equation, the only other way that these guys keep their jobs is if they draft either Cam Ward or Shador Sanders and they play at some point next year, and they look like they're going to be the quarterback for the next 15 years.
Yeah, but we're talking right That's now.
It. That's it.
What's the answer right now?
Right now, there is no answer.
That's a problem.
Until
the draft is in April.
I know, so you got to trade up to get Cam Ward if you love Cam Ward, if you think he's the best player. And then it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't. because it won't be about that season's wins and losses as much as it is that guy any good? That's really what it's going to come down to. Is that guy any good? Does he look like he has reinvigorated our franchise or not? So, and that's why, I mean, if they're drafted Cam Ward, having Aaron Rodgers there, and like, they're...
I think it's a good play if you have Aaron Rodgers in the building and you have a young quarterback sit and learn the game and slow things down from a neck-up standpoint.
And you committed to sitting him the entire year?
If need be. I mean, there's holes in the kid's game. We've already talked. We talked about it yesterday. This isn't the best quarterback draft. These Shador and him happen to just be the best prospects in this draft. They wouldn't even be in the top five last year when coming out as quarterbacks. So you have to understand there's a developmental aspect to this. There has to be a learning curve. And if you got old man Rodgers in the building, who you know for a fact has said, "Listen, I got no problems with teaching a young guy what it is and what it's not." Why not build? Why not set that foundation up now?
Okay. I mean, I just think that you're throwing, these guys are drowning in the ocean, and you're finding the most controversial and oldest life preserver on the boat to throw to them.
As
being a guy who grabbed that thing and be like, ah.
Well, being a guy who covered the Jets and watched young quarterbacks come into a system that they weren't prepared for, get decapitated year after year, it's hard on the locker room. Because being a part of that locker room where you know a quarterback needs more time and he's not allotted that time, there's nothing you can do. You're looking at a brick wall. And so to give some grace, you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, say, hey, this is how you do things around here. Or this is what you can do. This is how you play the position. And allow Cam to grow in that fashion if you feel like he's your quarterback.
Let's go to Pat and Suffering. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, hey, man? What do you got for us?
What's up, Pat?
Okay, a couple things. Hey, Willie, I really appreciate the street cred and everything of the locker room. It's awesome. Just a couple things. What's to prevent, like, do you think Tennessee is going to trade down and, like, try to get picked to a quarterback desperate team? Is that what's going to happen?
I mean, there's rumors they need draft capital. So, I mean, they're not big on Will Levis right now. A lot of reports is they need help. You know, they need to get younger and they need help in other areas. So I can see them trading down to get some more capital in that regard.
Oh, okay, a couple other quarterback questions with the draft. Okay, so why can't Shador just be Jaden Daniels 2.0? Everyone's, like, down on him and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. Is there a reason? Like, can somebody, like, verbalize a reason why he can't be?
I mean, that is an easy one. First of all,
What's the question?
Why can't Shador be Jaden Daniels 2.0 next year? The most obvious is the ability to run and the quickness of Jaden Daniels. The second is the high level of play in which Jaden Daniels was facing the competition week in and week out when he was in college. I mean, the other part of that is just a straight up athleticism.
He's just a better athlete, hands down.
Yeah, I mean,
he was a dog at Arizona State, and he was a dog at LSU, and his game was just able. It goes back to Herb Street to give him a shout out. He said it, out of everybody was kind of doubting Jaden Daniels, like, this is the guy. And he proved it this year. I mean, you go to that Philly game. I think it was like week 12 on 4th and 11. I mean, he put the team on his back, tucked that thing, and ran for 11 yards and got a first down. I mean, Commanders don't have the best offensive line. They're scrappy good, but not the best. And he was able to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And one thing I like about Jaden Daniels' games is he's accurate. And he's deliberate with the football. Can Shador be that? I don't know. I know Shador is accurate. But to your point, he's not the athlete. Go back to that playoff game against the Bucks. That was Jaden Daniels winning that game with his legs.
Yeah, I mean, and he also had Terry McLaurin in the very first couple of games. They weren't on the same page. But after him and Terry McLaurin, you're talking about Noah Brown, Zacchaeus, Zach Ertz, washed up Austin Ekeler,
and don't forget that
Brian Robb. This team did not have a lot of weapons outside of McLaurin.
And to your point, they didn't have a run game. A lot of their run game was filtered through Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that guy is as special as they come. And for, you know, Shador to come in and do that same thing with the New York Giants seems damn near impossible.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on a Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We have Jerry Recco back with another update. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, Jerry!
Late start for your Knickerbockers. They played at 10 p.m. last night in Los Angeles. And now, remember the notion was they were 0-7 against the Celtics, the Cavaliers, and the Thunder? Well, now they're making it, the story is they're 0-9 when you tack in the two Laker games.
Oh.
And last night looked like it was going to be a good night. Turned out not to be, though.
LeBron pushing, kicks it to the corner. Vincent, he's got it on! Lakers in front! Timeout!
I think that's TNT. Brian Anderson, I believe that is.
Yeah.
It was Gabe Vincent with a three-pointer. He was 4 of 4 from three-point range. He had 12 points. Lakers beat the Knicks in overtime, 113-109, as they came back from 10 down in that fourth quarter. Big games from Luka Doncic and LeBron James. They combined for 63 points. Luka had 32, James had 31. And all along the way, you also had Jalen Brunson, a game-high 39, but also injured his ankle.
Standing in place at the free throw line, can't move. And they're trying to get the foul, and they will take the foul. And Brunson is on his way to the locker room, folks.
Did not look good. Again, TNT with the call as he rolls the ankle as he comes down on the player's foot, and it looked like it went in the wrong direction. No details yet of what the injury is, but not good, clearly. That having been said, he was having a great night. Here was his head coach, Tom Thibodeau.
His mental toughness is, you know, through the roof. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me, you know, the way he played the whole game. You know, they were loaded up pretty good on him. And, you know, he still just keeps battling.
And it wasn't just the 39 points. He also had 10 assists in the game as well.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say this. I mean, he also had all 8 points in overtime for the Knicks. And that's what scares you about the Knicks moving forward. Who's going to be able to create like he does?
Well, nobody. They have to become a different team and find scoring in different ways, but nobody on this roster could do what he does.
But it goes back to what you stated earlier. This is where Cat has to, and I don't know what's going on with him off the field, but this is where you have to be the superstar we need you to be, especially with Jalen now.
Yeah, I mean, and he can be against certain teams, that's for sure. I mean, he has these 40-point nights and, you know, 12 rebounds and looks like he's one of the best players we've ever seen in a Knicks uniform. And then you have a game like last night where he comes off. Yeah, I mean, he can't hit a three. He's just going up to the basket with no energy. It's just, it's ugly.
OG Anunoby did have 20. As for the Lakers, they've won. How did you guys turn this thing around?
First, we'll be more physical. I think we're, how you say, kind of sloppy, or how you say, I don't know, in the first half. But in the fourth quarter, you know, we were physical. We were getting stopped, and then we just play our basketball on offensive end.
And they did it quite well, especially late. The Lakers now 40-21, the Knicks 40-22 with the loss. They will remain in Los Angeles to take on the Clippers later tonight. Now, a couple of nights ago, the Warriors beat the Knicks at the Garden. Last night, the Warriors were handling the Nets in Brooklyn.
Curry, dazzling display of ball handling, getting through the defense, under the basket, with a reverse, and it's good for Steph Curry, putting on a show in Brooklyn. He's got 28. And the Warriors with their largest lead of the night, it's 8.
And that was Chris Carino with the call on the Fan. 121-119 would be the final. The Nets looked like world beaters early, had a huge lead in the first quarter, got dwindled down a little bit in the second quarter, and then it was really all Golden State in the second half. Curry hits 7 threes. He scores 40. The Warriors now 7 games over 500. So why are things going so well, Mr. Curry?
You just commit to winning, and I think everybody's on the same page. The biggest thing is just understanding your role and what you do and how it impacts winning, and everybody committing to that. And we've done that in the last 12 games. Doesn't mean winning a championship. We'll see.
And CBS Sports Network running back the three right before the half from right in front of midcourt. It's ridiculous what that guy does.
And you got Sebastian Maniscalco at Barclays tonight. So they pick up those, the hardwood.
You're a fan?
No, he's okay. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Think we gave away some tickets.
He's very good. If you've ever seen him in person, he's very good.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's funny. Him. He's a funny guy.
You don't seem really excited.
No, he's okay.
I think he's better than okay, but that's fair enough. Now, I told you Matthew Stafford was on his wife's podcast a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only gotten through some of it. These are the first two that were notable in terms of him returning to Los Angeles. Talks here about, you know, a lot of rumors over the last few weeks and, of course, dealing with Sean McVay.
I had great, you know, communication with Sean the whole time. Not all of it was things I wanted to hear, and I think not all of it things he wanted to hear. You know, we have grown-up conversations because he and I have, you know, known each other and you know, gone through a lot together. So all of that was positive and good, you know, in the end, especially just getting to the point where I know that I'm extremely excited to be back.
And then he would say, and so are you. And she said, yes, I am. So I'm assuming this next portion, they'll talk maybe about the Giants. I don't know. So hopefully I'll have that for you next hour. But I was surprised. None of this seemed to get out very much.
Well, as we went over yesterday, nobody's listening to it.
Well, I also think people think it was a coup, that he never really wanted to leave. So everybody's
I know, but we post everything about anything. Like, I couldn't find any clips of Matthew Stafford yesterday.
I guess he didn't say much. That was interesting, right?
That's
probably what it was.
So I guess I'm going to waste my time watching the rest of it.
I saw one headline on it.
Okay.
And it was a post headline that said something along the lines of, the negotiations are going through that with the Rams. Kelly Stafford said was effing, you know, hard or something like that. Whatever it was. It was tough.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the one headline I saw.
I mean, how hard was it for her?
Well,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, sir.
You know, way.
You're trying.
You got me, right?
Okay.
Here was the Art Stapleton clip on McAfee talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Giants.
From my understanding right now, and you guys may know better than me,
that they are pretty significantly down a road where they are negotiating to the point where if Aaron Rodgers ends up as a Giant before the start of the league year next year, it would not be a shock to people in this area and at the Meadowlands.
That's weird to say negotiating in that spot.
So does that mean they're talking numbers with his reps?
Did they ask a follow-up? Because we sure as hell would.
They did, and that's where I think McAfee said, does that mean he's signing with the Giants? The problem is my time ran out.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll get you the follow-up next hour, too. How about St. John's head coach Rick Pitino? He is making the rounds.
It was really cool. I actually saw a video of him showing up to NBC, getting out of a limo, holding a suit, with our guy Steve Dombrowski, who comes in with Rick Pitino. And I said, man, I felt better for Steve Dombrowski than anybody in that situation. Because that man's been there through a lot.
Pretty good.
And then he got a chance to go to the Tonight Show because he finally got a head coach that could get things going in the right direction.
And it would start with Pitino having jokes about yesteryear.
I was named the Providence coach and coached against Lou Conosecker the following year. I'm coaching 50 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just turned 101.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable how you started. Yeah.
Then asked about a story that I guess has been out there, and he wanted to confirm it.
I read this somewhere that you maybe did an interview for a coaching job on your wedding night.
So I didn't have a job.
Wait. So this is all right. So it is true. Okay. Good.
Didn't have a job. I got a call from a person that we all knew, Jim Boeheim.
I love Jim Boeheim.
He was named his first year as a coach of Syracuse University.
All right. So Boeheim's at Syracuse. That's my computer that did that.
Oh, okay. So what is that?
Yeah, you might hear it again in this next clip. So Boeheim calls him. It's his wedding, so he had to let his wife know.
I said, I'm going to leave you just for an hour. I don't have a job. I'm sorry. We're going to Hawaii
on your wedding.
On a wedding night, we're going to Hawaii the next day. On a honeymoon. I said, I'm going to meet this gentleman. I'll be right back up. I excuse myself. About an hour and a half later, I call her up. And I said, honey, just open the envelopes. And I'll be right up.
Open the wedding envelope. You open the gifts. Enjoy yourself.
Italians always get what we call the fun ticket, the $100 in the envelope.
That's so funny.
First time I heard anyone use the term fun ticket other than Eddie.
Other than Eddie Scazzeri.
First you ever heard Eddie is then, all right? Yes. So now, as it turned out, the interview took longer than expected.
3 hours later, I come up. I say, I got great news. Got a job. Now, I didn't tell her I was interviewing for the Syracuse University job.
Yeah.
I said, great news. We got a job. I said, two problems. One, it's Syracuse, New York. And she says, upstate New York, Syracuse, with 120 inches of snow?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, but it's a great job, and Jim Boeheim's terrific. Well, what's the other bad news? I said, no honeymoon. I'm going tomorrow to Cincinnati to recruit Lewis Orr.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it all worked out for them.
Never had a honeymoon to Hawaii. But we've had quite a few trips after that. But I stayed with Jim Boeheim for 2 years. It was awesome.
But how long were you with your wife? Care about Jim Boeheim.
She left me a year later.
Yeah.
And then I guess they've been together 40-something years.
See, all of that, though, that's all pre-planned. Every one of those things.
I guess.
No, because they have these conversations with, like, the assistant producers, and they get together, and, like, that punchline whole thing with... How long did you stay with your wife? I mean, that was a question that was fed to him. It's all, you know.
Either way, it came
out.
It
worked out. It worked out. But, like, Jimmy Fallon, I don't know. He is a tough. Like, the goofiness.
I'm a fan of Fallon.
The goofiness in these interviews and the reactions to these. Like, are you over the envelopes?
You know, like that whole thing that he does. And we open the envelopes.
So you over the envelopes?
I don't know. Why are you such a Scrooge with Fallon?
Because the guy's making $10 gazillion and he sucks. That's why. I'm sorry. All those late night guys are horrible. I mean, there are some forms of cancer that are funnier than Seth Meyers.
That's aggressive. But I think I kind of get your point. No, I think Fallon's good. I like Fallon. I like the roots. I like the whole setup. I like what the guy going there. And okay. I met him. And I have an interesting story with Fallon. So.
Kimmel, what's the other? Colbert, Fallon.
Colbert could be rough.
Meyers. You can have all of them. You could take all of them and
so who do you like?
Blast
like
them up to SpaceX.
SpaceX?
Send them up into the moon. Send them to Mars to start the first colony. No, I think Shane Gillis is awesome. I think Andrew Schultz is very good. I think Theo Vaughn is very good.
So you like the new age comedians?
Well, yeah. I mean...
Well, yeah, I'm a fan of all those, too.
I mean, I just... Those shows are so antiquated. They really are. They're just you're telling me you watch that.
I don't
stuff?
Think anybody.
I watch Fallon when I'm up. I throw on Fallon.
I think people watch the clips more than they watch the shows.
Oh, yeah, well, certainly.
I mean, his YouTube channel has 32 million subscribers. Yeah, I believe.
I know,
and that's a lot more people that are watching the show.
Oh, like anybody's watching the show. 100%.
Is that way more than your podcast would outdo?
It's a little bit. Okay, yeah. just a few.
What about yesterday's? Same ballpark.
Yesterday's is doing well.
I was going to say. No,
hold on, that's a loose term. Doing better. Well. Well is not. Right now, 1,000 views has been the nice mark, and I think we surpassed that relatively quickly. So,
have you changed the titles? I thought that was a big concern.
You mean the thumbnail and the...
That's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah, I think they missed the mark a couple of days ago with mine and Al's podcast, quite frankly, when we talked about thongs and the guy with the micro penis, and instead they put a picture of me and Al just looking happy with two magnets and talking about opposites attracting. That was rough. But yesterday, Eddie and I talked a lot about, we talked a lot about Astoria and what it was like working at the radio station before we came here and some of the stories. And, you know, they put a Mike and Chris in the photo and it's doing all right.
All right, good.
So Alan Jerry's post-game podcast if you want to check it out. The Astros beat the Mets last night 5-1, a little cheap plug. Not a good night for Edwin Diaz, as Carlos Mendoza tells us.
He was off today. You could tell that from the very first hitter, you know, that he was missing glove side. You know, just missing wild, pretty much.
Doesn't matter. It's March 6th or 7th. But they will play again tonight. They take on the Nationals, Paul Blackburn, the start there. And the Yankees play the Blue Jays tonight. Marcus Stroman, the start there. And the Devils host the Jets.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on a feel-good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Knicks, of course, we are all awaiting the Jalen Brunson injury news, and that's hopefully something that we find out sooner than later, so Knicks fans can either calm down or freak out appropriately, and that's what's going to happen. Either calm down and say, all right, it's going to be back in a few days, or you're going to freak out and say, all right, it's going to be weeks, and we don't know what type of player he's going to be when he comes back. That, obviously, is the biggest news of the day. Get some calls in at 888-808-1019 for Bob in New Jersey. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Gio, what's good morning?
How you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there, retired, and just living life.
Man, you know? That sounds good, I tell you, Bob. How long you been retired?
I retired after COVID kicked my butt, so we got a buyout, and I took it 42 years building railroad tracks. So,
wow. Man, you know. So did you have so you retired after COVID. Were you able to have, like, a big retirement party, or was it one of those things you didn't feel like it was appropriate because everybody was telling you not to do it?
Yeah, no, I worked 36 years at the Metro North. I got a big retirement party there, and then I went to Amtrak for 4 years, and I left there. It was no big deal, you know? So
yeah, that's good. Do you find yourself, like, finding things, like having a tough time finding things to keep you busy?
My daughter has given me 4 beautiful granddaughters, and their ages are 6 months, a year, 2 years old, and 6 years old. Wow. So we watch them, and there are times I would, like, yearning for without job to call me and ask me to come to work.
Yeah, that could be a lot. that's a lot. And you obviously live close to them.
Oh, yeah. We're only like a mile apart, but they're 4 beautiful girls. So I've got a good life. I can't complain.
So basically, you're handcuffed to the Northeast now. You cannot go down to Florida because then you'd be shamed because you have to watch these children, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. And all of the guys I knew that retired are calling me up from, you know, Myrtle Beach in the golf course or Florida. And I'm like, hey, good to hear from you. Don't call me anymore.
Yeah, right. You're sitting there, you know, wiping little butts and doing diapers and everything else. I mean,
that pamper stage is the worst.
I'm the horse. My wife does the diaper changing. I'm the guy they ride around the living room and then throw them up in the air and stuff like that. I'm the entertainer.
All right. Very, very good, Bob. It sounds like things are going well for you. So what do you want to talk about with the Giants or Jets?
Look, Rodgers is going to go to the Giants. Here's the deal. If he doesn't perform well or the Giants don't finish well, no one can turn around and say it's because Rodgers didn't live up to expectations. But if he even takes him to over a 500 season and possibly to the playoffs by some miracle, he does it on the same field where the Jets released him And I look at Rodgers and I see a guy that could be somewhat vindictive. You know what I mean? And by the way, you got away with an F-bomb last week.
Who did?
You did.
I did not. There's no way.
Eddie would know.
When you were talking about your ear, and you almost were like talking to yourself, and you were like, yeah, my effing ear. But it was low and almost under your... Go back and take a look. I'm telling you, even on the rewind, when they do it on the TV program...
I'll tell you right now that I have slipped, and the second that I slip, I know it. And I could not say something like that and not know that I said it on the radio. And then Eddie is, you've seen, if Eddie was in there, Bob, there is no way he would let that thing go. The way that he moves towards that dump button. So it might have sounded like it, but I would be. And also, I would have gotten 6 million responses on social media if that happened. People are all over everything.
Slipped up?
Yeah.
Have you ever slipped up?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few times. It happens.
Yeah, a few times. You did, like, just a couple
times. We weren't talking about me. We were talking about you. I don't know how you pivoted right to me. I don't know how that happened at all.
Yeah. that's unfortunate. I actually already forgot his Aaron Rodgers point. Oh, yeah, I don't think he's going to be vindictive with the Jets because he didn't do what he was supposed to do with the Jets. I mean, I understand he got hurt.
Yeah, the Jets haven't slighted him in that 1 ounce. Yeah. They gave him everything he ever wanted.
Right. I mean, I know this new regime didn't want him, but can he really hold a grudge against them?
Or he can hold a grudge against Woody and Woody's kid who didn't like him in Madden.
Well,
no.
But Woody bent over backwards to get him
backwards.
Here.
He did more than that. He showed up to the guy's house.
Yeah.
Got on both knees and begged him to be a Jet.
Yeah, but when it turned...
Nobody expected a man to tear his Achilles in his first year. But, I mean, Nat Hackett. You're talking about Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
What else could the man, you know?
If he's vindictive about with the Jets, that means he's just made it up in his head.
I agree.
He shouldn't
There's be. No way he should have any hate or malice towards the Jets whatsoever.
When you first retired, did you have a tough time figuring out what the hell to do? Now, this guy obviously was working for 40-something years in a railroad. It's different when your NFL career comes to an end because you're much younger.
Yeah.
But
it's tough. You go through a grieving period, especially being a retired athlete, because your whole life is driven towards one purpose. And when you're able to, you're able to get it right, and you understand your why, and then that why is over at the age of 33. You're like, all right, what do I do now? You go from God to citizen, and that's a tough pill to swallow. So I was fortunate enough to work with SNY, you know, go into Barstool, do things with ESPN, and I'm fortunate enough to kind of still do this. But you still have moments where, like, man, what am I doing? Where's my helmet? Let me just go get back out there. But your body is like, those days is over, homie.
Yeah, so, everything got, like, businesses and stuff or starting, like...
Yeah, I have a bar, so...
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I have a bar.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bricks and Hops, 65 Brooklyn Boulevard. Shout out, it's in the Bronx.
Oh, it's in the Bronx?
Yeah.
How often are you there?
We're doing some renovations right now, but I'm there about 2 or 3 times out of the week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that's good that you're there and you're present, because if you're not in that business, people steal from you all the time.
I mean, yeah, that's any business, Gio.
No, like, it's definitely the bar business.
Yeah, we have a good staff. We're fortunate.
You got a good manager you can trust?
Yes, we do. Shout out Eddie.
Shout out Eddie?
Yeah.
All right. How long have you had this bar?
5 years? No. Six. This is seventh. Seventh year? Yeah.
Okay.
We opened right before COVID.
Okay.
It sucked, but we were able to survive it. So,
and it's like we got food in this place, too.
We got food, we got booze, we got a little atmosphere, we got everything moving.
Why don't you give the name again, the address?
Bricks and Hops, 65 Brooklyn Boulevard. Yeah, in the Bronx. It's right over the 3rd Avenue Bridge.
Like a sports bar, like I can go in there. Yeah. You got the Sunday ticket moving in there.
We got games going, we got wings, you can get a cold beer. Yeah.
Right. It's always something you wanted to do.
Well, the whole goal was to give, you know, I hated the notion that in order to have a good time, you had to go to Manhattan, right? Like in order to go get a cold beer and appreciate the city, you had to go to Manhattan. I hated that. So I wanted to stay loyal to the soil and open up an establishment in my hometown, in the Bronx. It's only 5 minutes from where I grew up at.
And we're making money on this?
We're doing well. We're holding on.
Yeah. Holding on doesn't sound great.
Well, I mean, the bar business is somewhat of a dying business because people aren't drinking as much as they want, rather. So.
You think?
Yeah, people aren't boozing like that.
Yeah, look at yourself.
I'm one of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think it's younger people aren't drinking as much. That's what I think it is. They're going more to like the edible things and whatever. Like the Gen Z doesn't drink as much.
Well, I think society started shift, period. I think people are, I mean, more and more folks are like pushing away from the bottle because of the damage it does to the brain and body. So I think more folks are kind of shifting that in the marijuana way, the THC way, if you will. So like you could drink THC now.
You can. I saw actually someone gave me that as a gift. It doesn't jive with me. It really doesn't. For whatever reason, my brain and like that any gummy
poured over ice
edible thing is not working.
You're not a gummy guy?
No, it doesn't work with me.
What does that mean, it doesn't work with
you? It doesn't jive.
You freak out? You get paranoid?
No, it just doesn't. I don't know how to, I had a really bizarre experience the last time. Like to the point of like, I
thought
you
was
a
cactus?
No, I felt like I was on another planet. My ears started ringing. I was like, and I knew I was fine. But I was like, I got to sleep this off. Like, I cannot function.
It's called being high.
But it was way too high, though. It was way too high.
How's it way too high?
Because I've been high before. It wasn't something.
How
was
you having if you're describing this to being the worst high you've ever received?
It was too much. And I was drinking too, combination.
Well, that didn't to tell the story. Don't make it sound like you just did an edible and you freaked out and it felt like you were the Pope.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's not for me.
Yeah, there's body highs and there's head highs.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
I like them. I sleep. They help me sleep.
Yeah. I wish, trust me, I would love to have Eddie has the same thing. He freaks out. He goes in the fetal position in bathrooms.
Really, Eddie?
Yeah.
Yeah, marijuana and me, hyper paranoia. Like,
what can you do, Eddie?
Drink.
Drink red wine. Well, you said you stopped that.
No.
No, I know.
Well,
I
you, still... meant, you do less of it.
I don't go nuts. My body actually tells me after about like three glasses, all right, that's enough.
What does it say?
Well, it's just
like take my pants off.
But in the past, it was like I had no stoplight at all.
Oh, I get that. I was the same way. It was all or nothing. I drank like I was trying to score the winning touchdown every time.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.